The following presentation was recorded at a Christian Light Education workshop. More information at clp.org.
We have about 25 minutes here that I'd like to use just to wrap up. And typically in the last few years in these workshops, we've tried to make this last session a bit of a review, a bit of a going over some things without adding a lot of new things. In my years of going to CLE workshops and CMTI and others, there's one thing that always seems to be the same, and that is you come to the end of a day like this and you think, whew, what more can I take in? I've about had mental overload, and I'm not sure which way to go from here. So what I'd like to do this afternoon is just do a bit of a review, cover some of the basics, look at where we went today, and then give you a few things that you can latch on to and hopefully take home with you and back to your school. We've taken the title from John 13:17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. On your program, the blurb for this topic says, when each, and then there's four topics, and I'd like to look at those, or subtopics. When each knows his place, and knows how to respond to authority over him, and treats those under his authority with respect, and fulfills his responsibilities, then there is peace, there is stability, and there is joy. We'd like to look at those four subtopics together this afternoon. There's no doubt in my mind that all of us want this. We want that peace, that stability, and we want that joy. At the same time, I would be very naive to conclude that all of us have that in our school settings. I've talked to some very troubled teachers, not today, but I've talked to some very troubled teachers who sometimes are about at their wits' end. They're not sure which end is up. Just the pressures from various things. And a lot of it has to do with relationships. How are we relating? And we had in the workshop this morning, relating teacher to teacher, teacher to parent, board member to parent and teacher, etc. And so we've looked at relationships and maybe have overused the word, but let me quote this. It says, there's only one secure foundation in a genuine, deep relationship with Jesus Christ, which will carry you through any and all turmoil. No matter what storms are raging all around us, you'll stand firm if you stand on his love. And so I would like to just encourage us to stand firm in his love in the relationships that we find ourselves in. It seems no matter how you're getting along with your parents, with teachers, with students, or may I say even with myself. Do you ever argue with yourself? Have discussions with yourself? How do you get along with yourself? But in any of those, it really is necessary that I have a deep commitment to Jesus Christ to carry me through these situations. I'd like to look at these four points one at a time. Knows his place. What is your place in the school? Do you know what that place is and what it includes and what it does not include? Assumptions are the termites of relationships. Let's delve into that one a little bit. When I assume something about you and make conclusions on that assumption, it may or it may not be correct. Assumptions have not been proven, and so we need to be very, very careful in our assumptions. Whenever you're in conflict with someone, there is one factor that can make the difference between damaging the relationship and deepening it, and that is our attitudes. Our daughter and son-in-law, different times in teaching and training their children, when we were with them, I would hear them say, I think someone needs an attitude adjustment. And we use that at school sometimes too. Your attitude. We need an attitude adjustment. Our attitude, our outlook is so important. It is such an important factor in all of life. We need a job description to know our place. If you know what you're supposed to do and to whom you are responsible, things will go a lot smoother in really knowing your place and how it all fits in. As the size of a school grows and the number of staff increases, I think job descriptions are all the more important. So we are here representing small schools, middle-sized schools, maybe some larger schools. And so the more students we have, the greater this is going to reach out into. For each of these four subtopics, I have some self-check questions. Maybe that's a teacher in me coming out. I'll ask them, do I see the need for clear lines of responsibility? Do I have a clear line of responsibility? To you teachers, I would say, if you are not sure, ask. Maybe your board thinks you know what you were hired to do, but maybe it's not as clear to you as what they think it is. So ask, do you have clear lines of responsibility? Secondly, am I content in the place where God has called me to serve? Are you content? And three, do I thank God for that place? The place where you are planted, are you blooming? And are you thankful for being there? Has God placed you in that part? Roman numeral 2, you know, authority is stacked. I have authority over me, and there's authority. There are those who are looking up to me as an authority. But they all need to stack up together in proper order. We have the account here of the centurion who came to Jesus in Matthew 8, chapter 9. And he was definitely a man that could make people jump. He could make people jump. If we don't read the first part of the verse, we would say, I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. It's almost as if bang, 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 you do it, and no questions asked. But notice the beginning of that verse. It says, for I am a man under authority. Who was he under? It could have been Nero. I didn't do the research. He was under some Roman emperor who was most likely a very cruel taskmaster, but he recognized the proper levels of authority when he came to Jesus with that statement. Some practical steps for authority. Start by reading and learning what God says about authority in the Bible. Pray for those in authority over you. Have you ever noticed, and if you haven't, I challenge you to try it. Have you ever noticed that when you are having a relationship problem, you're having some kind of a difficulty, how long can you be in that situation and earnestly pray for that person without changing your own attitude? Try it. Pray for those in authority over you. Set the example for your students. The way that teachers respond to their parents, respond to the church, respond to the board, is going to determine in some degree how the students in the classroom will respect the teacher's authority. Students are very good imitators. And not only are they good imitators, but they are good mind readers. They can see through our false front if we're not careful. Set the example for the people around you, and then understand and know ahead of time that you're not going to like every decision. I asked for a certain privilege or favor or piece of equipment one time of our school administrator, and it was turned down. And I could have done various things, but not every decision is going to go my way. Further than that, there are different ways in which I can handle a no answer. I could have went back to the students and said, I don't know why they don't give me what I asked for. And what would that have done? That would have undermined my authority in their eyes. Self-check. Am I convinced that I need authority over me? Do I need the authority over me? Number two, the authorities that I am under are not perfect. Am I okay with that? I'm not perfect. My board is not perfect. My ministers are not perfect. Am I okay with that? Can I live with that and be blessed? And do I want the people to respond to my authority the way I respond to those in authority over me? Roman numeral 3. How do I treat those in my care? If I'm a school board member, how do I treat the teachers? How do I speak to the teachers? How do I address them? Do I listen to them? Do I hear them? If I'm a teacher, how do I address my students? How do I treat them? Treats those under his authority with respect. A man who enjoys responsibility usually gets it. A man who merely likes exercising, notice the difference? Exercising authority usually loses it. I have another list here I'd like to go through. We heard from Brother Lester this afternoon about earning respect. How do we do that? Here are some tips. Number one, be authentic. Be sincere. I don't know what it is about children, but they have a way of detecting insincerity. They have antenna that just grab into any type of insincerity and find whether we are true to what we're saying or whether we're not. Listen to your students. Listen not only to their voice, their tonal inflections, but also their body language. Listen to their eyes, their eyebrows, and things such as that. I found that the best time to listen to students is at the lunch table. As a busy teacher, it would have been so easy, and I did it sometimes until I learned this lesson. It would have been so easy to take my lunch, sit at my desk, and grade some papers. But after I saw what I was losing, I decided it's better to take the time, sit down with the students, and eat my lunch quietly and listen. What happens at home comes out at the lunch table. What happens on the playground tends to come out at the lunch table. The values that they hold true to comes out at the lunch table. It seems our mouths eating food loosens up something within us and it comes out at that time. Treat your students with dignity and courtesy. Brother Lester shared on that this afternoon. You know, sometimes we tend to think that if I apologize to my students that I will lessen in value in their eyes. David was an average student, came from a good family, for the most part very respectful. But as time went on during our one school year, there seemed to be a brick wall slowly building between David and myself. And I questioned it. I wasn't sure what is happening here. And so I pulled David aside one time and I had a heart-to-heart chat with David. And to his credit, he was honest and he was open. And he reminded me of some weeks before where I had dropped a statement that offended him. And I had not realized it at the time, but when he reminded me of it, it hit me like a brick. And I saw my sin, and I confessed it to him. Did our relationship immediately recover? It started to. It took time. But slowly, that relationship was able to be built again. Treat your students with dignity and courtesy. Board members, do the same for your teachers. Treat them with courtesy and with dignity. Keep your commitments. Sometimes we make rash promises. The Ecclesiastes writers talks about it, better not to vow than to vow and not keep. So don't make many promises if you are apt not to be able to keep them. Don't promise things that are not in your power to promise. For example, do not promise them something that needs to be cleared by the board unless you make that clear. In other words, you cannot promise something from the board that is not in your power to give. Be patient with your students. You know, I believe students want to do their best. Rare are the students in our schools who are really out to get you. In most cases, they're being immature. They're being children. And we need to be able to tell the difference, I'm sure. But be patient and realize that most of them want to do what is right. Do they always get it done? No, they don't. Of course not. But they want to do what is right. Treat your students as you would want to be treated. It's very simply the golden rule. And then sacrifice when necessary. And you say, do I have to sacrifice again and again and again? Be willing to sacrifice for the greater good of the school, when such sacrifices will then be a contributor to the success of the school. When I am in charge, what is my respect level toward my peers? Toward those older or in authority over me, or to someone younger, such as my students? Roman numeral 4 fulfills his responsibility. Maturity comes not with age, but with the acceptance of responsibility. You are only young once, but immaturity can last a lifetime. There was a certain teacher passed over for a promotion. The supervisor explained why the teacher was passed over with these words. He said, "You do not have 15 years' experience in the classroom. You have 1 year's experience 15 times." In other words, that teacher wasn't growing. That teacher wasn't learning. That teacher was being immature after all those years. Now, that's maybe an off-the-beam type of example, but think about it. Your immaturity can last a lifetime. We tell our students, grow up. Sometimes we need to grow up, too. Success on any major scale requires us to accept responsibility. In the final analysis, the one quality that all successful people have is the ability to take on responsibility. How responsible are you? We have this old story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. And we smile. It's a unique play on words, but there's a lot of truth in it. Are we relying on others to do what is ours to do? 5 tips on fulfilling your responsibilities. Be positive. Nobody likes a negative person. Be positive. Don't be intimidated by others around you, but be positive. Use a calendar or a planner. I used to keep one of those big year calendars with the blocks. You know, you peel off 1 month at a time. Just a place on my desk to jot down things that I didn't want to miss. A monthly calendar, a daily list. Just a way of doing the things that are important to be done. Break up a big project into small, manageable chunks. Bite size. Students need to do things in bite-sized pieces. Sometimes we as teachers need to do that too. School board, you can maybe break up projects into manageable chunks. Write it down, make lists. In the classroom, the years I taught, I carried a piece of paper in my pocket, 8.5 by 11 folded in a trifold. and I would whip it out and write things down as I was reminded of things, as a to-do list, things that needed to be done, things that I needed to check on. A student would mention something about their work, and I'd say, well, I'll check on that, I'll get back to you tomorrow. So write them down, and that way it won't slip through the cracks as easily. Even today, sometimes on a Saturday when I'm doing a lot of catch-up work around home, I make myself a list. And there's a joy in checking it off. And then I come across something that's not even on my list, but it needs my attention, and I write it on my list and check it off as I do it. Isn't that a satisfaction of a job done? And then delegate responsibilities. You don't have to do it all. A good responsibility filler will also delegate. When you delegate, you are still responsible. It has to be done, but you don't have to do it all yourself. Don't be a yes man that answers yes to every question that you're asked and every job that you're given. If I do not do my job, am I placing a heavier burden on my coworkers? Who will take up the slack if I do not fulfill my responsibilities? Is my attitude right about that? Am I punctual? Am I on time? Let's say there's a board meeting and there's 5 board members. I'm 10 minutes late. 5 board members times 10 minutes, that's 50 minutes of lost time. Am I on time? Is that important? Am I jealous of my responsibilities? Do I hold it so close to my heart that no one may do what I think is my responsibility? And I guard it so closely. And finally, then, am I humble enough to ask for advice? We could go on, but I'm going to close. Do you have the peace and the stability and the joy that I talked about in opening half an hour ago? Do you have that experience in your daily classroom? If not, what have you learned today that you can take with you? I'll end with one story. There was a teacher in the East who was really struggling with relationships. She came to this seminar and she told us later that what she learned in this seminar started clicking as the day went through, and she saw herself that she did not have a good relationship with her students, and therefore they were not responding to her respectfully. And so maybe there's a tidbit like that that you have been able to glean, and I just give that to you as an affirmative to take it back to school tomorrow and put it into practice. If not, teaching school without joy will soon become a drudgery. And you know, it's a long time until May. It's even a long time till Christmas vacation if you're not enjoying what you're doing. School teaching can be such a joy when things are going well and a blessing. But if things are not going well, it goes downhill very quickly. In closing, on behalf of the team and Christian Light, I want to thank you for the opportunity we've had yesterday, last evening, and today in serving you. I'd just like to bless your efforts wherever you are. I would also like to just open up ourselves as CLE representatives. If you have questions, we are on call. Our telephone number and email addresses are in the back of the school catalog. They're there for a purpose. Give us a call. Give us an email, and we'll try to meet those needs.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.